Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Good morning, Emmanuel Faith. Buenos dias. All right, we are excited because we're about to hear from God's word, right? Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Today we're going to talk about the importance of creating space. Space in our lives for Jesus and space for others. But before we begin, let me ask you, are you ready to hear from God's word? Yes. What about up there in the balcony? Are you guys ready? Yes. Okay, there you go. You know, I can't believe it's been almost 8 years since the last time that I had the opportunity to share with you from God's word from this platform. And a lot of things have happened in the last year. But for me personally, the most significant one is that Yemima and I are officially empty nesters. Since our youngest daughter got married about 3 months ago, and let me tell you, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. Now, here's a picture of our new family. Now, yeah. Now, there are a few things to notice there. I'm not the tallest and I'm not the strongest in my family any longer. But I want to believe that I'm el más guapo still. I don't know if my daughters will agree with that, but. Now, a couple weeks after our daughter's wedding, Jemima and I hosted our whole family of six to come to our place. And what we didn't expect is that after dinner, we all agreed that it will be good for us to get together for dinner every Sunday night. And that decision has turned into something really special for me. You know, sometimes the best invitations are the ones that we never saw coming. They are unexpected, but somehow exactly what we need. That brings us to a man in Scripture who received one of the most surprising invitations of all. You see, since Jesus' fame was spreading, everyone wanted to see him. So as Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Now, apparently everyone wanted to see Jesus, including this man named Zacchaeus, because of the multiple rumors going around about a young rabbi who performed miracles. Jesus, the one with the power to deliver the demon-possessed. Jesus, the one with the power to heal the lepers and the paralytics. The one who even raises people from the dead was entering Jericho. Now, as we just read, Zacchaeus wasn't a nobody. He was wealthy. He was a wealthy, actually, chief tax collector. That meant that he was powerful, but also hated. Hated because tax collectors were corrupt, overcharging people and keeping the profit. They were also considered to be traitors to the nation because they were working for the Roman Empire, and they were also considered spiritually unclean. So they were cut off from the community and not welcome in the synagogue or the temple. In short, someone like Zacchaeus was somewhat isolated from society and far from God's presence. However, as Jesus was entering Jericho, Zacchaeus was curious about him. Verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. You know, curiosity is a strong desire to know information about someone or to learn about something. And as we're about to find out, curiosity can create space for unexpected personal invitations. I think that we all need some level of curiosity to create space for new relationships in life, to be open to new experiences, to be able to listen to different perspectives, and to be willing to take some risks. In Zacchaeus' case, his curiosity about Jesus led him to climb a tree. Look at verse 3. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, if you grew up coming to Sunday school, you most likely know the song, right? Zaqueo era chaparrito, así que vivía en Jericó. Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry for not mentioning that I know this song only in Spanish. It's the same song. It's just a translation into Spanish. Now, in all seriousness, please keep in mind that in a Jewish context, a man climbing a tree was considered undignified, and even more so for a public official. Yet Zacchaeus was willing to make a fool of himself in front of an entire crowd just to see if the rumors about Jesus were true. And I wonder as well if Zacchaeus knew that Matthew, a former tax collector, became one of Jesus' disciples, stirring even more curiosity in his heart. Now look at what happened next, verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your home today, at your house today." Now we don't know for sure how much did Zacchaeus knew about Jesus. We can only imagine, we can only speculate. But what we do know is that Zacchaeus knew everything about him. That Jesus, knew everything about him. He knew what was going on in his life. He knew him very well, and he wanted to meet him, daring even to break at least a couple of the social rules of his time. The first rule that Jesus broke was inviting himself into someone else's house. And I think that's impolite in every culture. You don't go around telling random people that you are going into their house to eat a meal, right? Imagine myself, "Hey, Bill, prepare your house tonight because I'm going and eat whatever I want." You don't do that. Now, the second rule that Jesus broke was more religious in nature. For he decided to enter into the house of someone considered spiritually unclean, spiritually impure, compromising then his own purity. But none of these rules impeded Jesus to display his Father's love for Zacchaeus. In the same way, as followers of Jesus, we cannot go through life ignoring Spirit-led opportunities to meet new people because in our eyes they are not good enough or moral enough or Christian enough. We all need to be available to show God's love to others. Now, on the other hand, we cannot disqualify ourselves either from approaching Jesus because of our guilt, our shame, or fear of rejection. You know, Zacchaeus didn't. He put himself out there. And as a result, he received an unexpected invitation from the Savior of the world. The same kind of invitation that he's extending to us. Now, this invitation might be unexpected, but it has the potential to make an eternal impact in our lives. One of the really awesome things that happened with Zacchaeus, when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, is that he called him by name. Can you imagine that? Making evident that this encounter wasn't a coincidence, that it was in fact a divine appointment. You see, Jesus didn't just want to visit Zacchaeus' house. He wanted to enter into his life. He wanted to sit at the table with him as he wants to sit at the table with us. Todos a la mesa, everyone to the table. Now, the question is, what are we supposed to do when we receive this kind of invitation? Well, today we will consider three principles based on Zacchaeus' response. The first one is that Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his house, and we should do the same. We should create space to welcome Jesus into our house. Now notice that as Zacchaeus heard Jesus' invitation, he was very glad. He was glad because he considered it a privilege to host Jesus in his place. Verse 6, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So Zacchaeus came down from the tree and he rushed home to prepare everything. The meal, the servants, the table, the house, cleaning, everything needs to be ready for Jesus, making sure that Jesus will feel at home. I don't know if you have that kind of experience, that you go into someone else's house and you feel at home. That's how Zacchaeus wanted for Jesus to feel. At home. He was ready to open his house with a hospitable heart. Now, I think this is very important because hospitality is more than simple acts of service. Hospitality is an attitude that makes our guests feel at home. You see, the goal of hospitality is not just to open the doors of our hearts, of our house, but to open the door of our hearts. That's what Zacchaeus did. He did it because he wanted to see Jesus. He did it because he wanted to hear his words. He did it because he wanted to hear more about him. And as he did, he took the relationship to the next level. From acquaintances to really good friends. And we should do the same. We should create space in our schedule to connect with Jesus. To connect with Jesus means to be willing to develop a personal, intimate relationship with him. A relationship characterized by faith, trust, and a strong desire to follow his teachings and to follow his example. Now, it's very interesting to notice that most people were not happy with the idea of Jesus going into Zacchaeus' house. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Check the first word of this verse. I don't know why. But no one liked the idea of Jesus spending time with Zacchaeus. Not because they wanted to spend time with Jesus. Not because they cared about Zacchaeus. For whatever reason, they wanted to disqualify our Lord. They wanted to question his integrity. No wonder the religious leaders were calling Jesus a friend of sinners. But Jesus wasn't looking for the approval of others. Jesus was focused on one simple and important thing, Zacchaeus' heart. That's what matters the most, what mattered the most for Jesus. And as the people grumbled and complained, Jesus took the opportunity to show Zacchaeus that he is the only way to receive new life. That day, by welcoming Jesus into his house and connecting with him, Zacchaeus' life was forever changed. And if we long for radical change, we should do the same. We should create space in our lives to be transformed by Jesus. Being transformed by Jesus means to experience change that shapes us into his image by the renewal of our minds and our hearts. In other words, this transformation involves aligning ourselves with God's will to become more loving, more compassionate, more selfless, and ready to participate in God's mission. Say with me, ready. Okay, now let's be ready, okay? Say with me, ready. Zacchaeus was ready for whatever with Jesus. This is exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. His encounter with Jesus transformed his life. And the first thing that Jesus changed in Zacchaeus' life was the way he used to see himself. I wonder if he felt important. I wonder if he felt that he was accomplished. I wonder if he thought that he made it in life. Alone. By himself, no friends, but lots of cash. Good enough for him. In theory. But as he encountered Jesus for the first time, he acknowledged that he was a sinner in need of a savior. He acknowledged that he was, in fact, a traitor and a corrupt liar. And then he repented. He decided to repent, to turn away from his sin towards God. That's what repentance is. He was going in one direction, and all of a sudden, he makes a 180, going in a different direction, following Jesus, following his agenda, following his desires. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now, we don't know from the text. We can only imply from the rest of the scripture. This is not Zacchaeus paying for his salvation. He couldn't afford salvation on his own. He couldn't pay for salvation. Salvation is too expensive, yet it's free to us because Jesus is the only one who can pay for our salvation. But this is Zacchaeus responding. I don't know for how long by this point he is spending, how long he's going as he's spending time with Jesus. I don't know, 1 hour, 2 hours. I mean, there are meals in our house that last like 3-4 hours. And he's listening to his voice. He's paying attention to every single one of his actions. He's intrigued by Jesus and he considers his message. And this is what comes after. There's already transformation happening in his soul, in his heart, in his mind. You see, this is what happens when we sit at the table with Jesus. Zacchaeus was invited to sit at the table as he was, for sure. Jesus didn't mind going into his house, sitting at his table, sharing a meal with him. But once Zacchaeus sat down with Jesus, his life began to change. For it's impossible to remain the same as we spend time in his presence. So let me ask you, what is the last thing that the Lord has changed in your life? What is the Lord here and right now in this season changing in your life? Because it's not hard to consider ourselves good people. We grew up at church. Everything is good. What is the newness? The new thing going on in your life? Where is the Spirit challenging you? What is the thing that you need to surrender? The bad habit that you need to crucify? You know, I was reminded a few weeks ago of something that happened when I was 12, 35 years ago. Wow. Long time ago. And the memory was about a circle of a few guys having conversations, you know, kids, having conversations. And all of a sudden, one of them points at me and he said, "You don't use bad language, Esteban. What's wrong with you?" And I didn't know, because I grew up becoming an expert in using foul language and using profanity. I was an expert in that matter. But all of a sudden, as Jesus came into my life, I was 12, and another kid points out that I don't say bad words any longer. What about that for a testimony? The problem is that it's been 35 years. So what is the new thing? A few weeks ago, I am frustrated, impatient, disappointed. And the Lord has been ministering to me, saying, "Focus on the mission." Focus on the mission. Not that everything else is not important, but it's not as important. Focus on the mission. And I'm a pastor, meaning sometimes I forget about the mission. The second question, have you been spending time with Jesus? Not doing your regular devotional, you know, kind of a thing that it becomes, you know, like mechanic. Spending time with Jesus. And sensing that he's in the room. That you are in his presence and you have to surrender everything before him. When was the last time? Now, the second thing that Jesus changed in Zacchaeus' life was his purpose. Zacchaeus was so radically transformed that he engaged in mission with Jesus right away. He didn't need like a 3-month course of being, you know, a disciple and living on mission. No. I don't know, 2, 3 hours, 4 hours max. He's listening to Jesus. He knows everything about Jesus by this point, or as much as he could, you know about him at the moment. But something is important here that we need to notice. He knows what Jesus is about, and he is like, I'm in. Count me in. This man, once defined by his greed and corruption, was now overflowing with repentance and generosity. He right away was willing to help those in need around him, and he wanted to pay back whatever he wrongly took from others. And I think this is a key moment in Zacchaeus' life. For all of a sudden, Jesus and other people become more important to him than money and power. Let me repeat that. All of a sudden, Jesus and other people became more important to Zacchaeus than money and power. Jesus. Others. His eyes were open. He probably never saw them. He probably avoided thinking too much about them. He didn't care. But now, he's reminded of the neighbor, of the person on the next town, of the beggar, the person that is suffering that he knows, but he didn't care about. Now they are at the top of the list, right after the name of Jesus. This is a beautiful story. It's not a kid's story. This is an everyone's story. So let me ask you this moment. What do you care about the most? The title? The promotion? The savings? Retirement? Your family, your girlfriend? What do you care about the most? From this moment on, Zacchaeus' life was about Jesus and people. And in response, check out verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." I love it. Even Jesus noticed it. You know, we can pretend. You know, like trying to make other people receive an idea of who we are. We can promote ourselves as the most radical, committed, devoted followers of Jesus. But this is Jesus. He knows. And what I love about this story is that once Zacchaeus' life was transformed, his whole household was impacted. That's a beautiful picture there. You know, it's amazing to notice that once this man created space for Jesus in his life, salvation came not only into his house, but into his entire life. And that's the same kind of work that Jesus wants to do in our lives. He wants to carry his salvation everywhere we go. Yeah, you heard me right. Everywhere we go, to the shop, the business, with our friends, with our family, everywhere we go. Now we are carrying this powerful salvation fully displayed for everyone to see. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus wants to use what he's doing in our lives so that we could point others to him. That's the beauty of it. Whatever is happening in your life, whatever the Lord is doing in your life, whatever the Holy Spirit is being lately changing, transforming, that is what the Lord wants to use to make an impact in your little kids, to make an impact in your teenager, to make an impact in your friends and relatives and people that are around you. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. In other words, Jesus is searching for us. He's searching for us. So if you are going through life feeling out of place, as if something is missing, if you find yourself in need of empowerment to make some significant changes in your life, let me tell you, you are wanted by Jesus. It was so awesome this last week to see the hundreds of kids coming to VBS. Something that I noticed, you know, like from my great role during this week, that it was, you know, like making sure that no adults will enter the restrooms because they were reserved only for kids. That was my job for VBS. Can you believe it? And it was exciting because I was able to see every kid coming through these doors, and on the side, on each side, a phrase, you are wanted. I saw it right away and I pointed, that's the mission. You are wanted as well by Jesus. He's searching for you. And regardless of who you are and what you have done, Jesus is willing and gracious enough to forgive you of all your sins. You heard me right, all of your sins. And he's willing to give you a new life. And this is so beautiful, my brothers and sisters. He wants to give you a new life and fill it with his love. So please don't say no to this unexpected invitation. Can you hear your name? He's calling you by name. He knows who you are and where you are at. He knows the motivation of your heart. He knows everything going on in your life, and he cares. Now, to those of us who already walk with Jesus, my encouragement will be to continue to welcome him into our everyday life. Be with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Enjoy Jesus. Ask questions to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Eat a meal with Jesus. Everything with Jesus. And look for opportunities to connect with others. Look for opportunities to connect with believers and non-believers as you share a meal or a cup of coffee at the table. And allow the Holy Spirit to do his transformational work in your life and through your life. That's the beauty of this. Now we are ambassadors. Now we get to promote the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more exciting than that. And now we are living it out. And people get to know this. Emmanuel Faith, Jesus is knocking on the door. If we hear his voice and dare to open the door of our hearts, he will come in and eat with us. Todos a la mesa, everyone to the table. You know, in a world marked by hostility, chaos, and division, let's continue to be a hospitable church, a church family who fosters real and authentic relationships with one another. Since Yamima and I created space in our schedule to receive our family in our house on Sunday nights, I have to tell you, life is more exciting now. Now more than ever, we are looking forward to our Sundays. For we love to spend our Sunday mornings with our church family. It's just a delight. It's so much joy. But now we get to have our family coming to our place on Sunday nights. Pretty cool, huh? In fact, things are going so well that on the last 4th of July weekend, we went camping together. You know, my desire is to make sure that my sons-in-law feel truly welcome in our home and deeply connected to our family. And also my hope is that as we gather around the table each Sunday, as we share a meal and spend time together, we can all encourage one another to continue to grow in the Lord. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's the same kind of a goal that Jesus has for his church. He's looking for us. He's calling us by name. And he's inviting us to sit at the table with him in the company of this beautiful church family that he has provided for us. My goodness, it's been 12 years since we sit on the same spot every weekend across from these other couple. We not even know them. Hey, can we go for coffee after church at Starbucks? I forget at Starbucks. At the Holy Grounds. And get to share each other's stories. And get to pray for one another and encourage one another. I hope I'm not right. Because what is going on in our society is too sad. I hope I'm not right. But I think that the future of ministry is relational. It's relational. An entire generation is growing up completely isolated from one another. They don't know how to interact. They don't know how to talk with one another. And that's not only the younger generation. That's full grown ups. We don't know how to engage in conversations. And we are the church. We know how to relate. Because all of that talking to Jesus, asking Jesus, walking with Jesus, having fun with Jesus, having a meal with Jesus helps us, empowers us to then do the same with people around us. Todos a la mesa. Everyone to the table. Don't miss out. For the King has prepared a banquet for us. Would you please stand? And I would like to ask you respectfully to bow your heads and to close your eyes, because I'm going to make an invitation. The invitation that most of us already answered and acknowledged and received. The invitation goes like this. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, today is the day. And in the same way that Jesus told Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. today can be the day for you. So if you sense Jesus calling your name, you can respond by acknowledging your need for him, asking him to forgive your sins, and choosing to follow him for the rest of your life. Let's pray. Jesus, here we are. And we know that you care. We have heard that you love us. So now, Lord, we surrender everything at your feet. And we want to ask for forgiveness. Lord, please forgive our sins. For the first time, probably we need to acknowledge that we haven't been that good. That we have failed, that we have done whatever we wanted far from you, Lord. But now we want to receive you in our lives as Lord and Savior. Will you please come in, Lord? Would you please come and make it all new? Please, Lord, we want to live for your glory, for your agenda, for your desires, for the rest of our life. Jesus, and for my fellow brothers and sisters who are already walking with you, please, Lord, empower us and allow us to display your full glory to those around us, Lord. Then more than acts of generosity, then more than acts of friendship, that we will display your love and make people comfortable, make people at home, not only here at church, but in our houses, Lord. And our relationships with friends and neighbors, Lord, help us to bring your salvation everywhere we go. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.